Well, I guess my wife's been away for a few days, and you know, you kind of step it up, and it's different. You know, picking up the kids from school, they've been taking the bus, which they don't typically do. She takes them, but also the dogs. We got a couple of dogs and a poodle and a Aussie Shepherd, and so they are Wesley and Athena, and so they're supposed. Now, there's different thoughts on when dogs should be fed. Now, someone else who's in our larger, more extended family, who's a big animal lover, dog lover, has weighed in at family conversations and said she just has food available, and if they're hungry, they can eat. Now, that's one take.
But dogs don't self-regulate that well, so then they get fat. Cats. We have to schedule our cats' food because they're both obese, trying to lose weight.
Sure, and I think in our house, my wife and daughter are the specific owners of these dogs, and they, particularly my daughter, just like, she does not want her dog overweight, and so... Yeah. They're supposed to eat in the morning and at night.
Yes.
And so these are instructions left. And so apparently one of my daughters fed the dogs in the morning. But I was home middle of afternoon yesterday, and they seemed hungry.
Yeah.
And so when I'm hungry, I eat. So I'm like, all right, here's some food.
Here's a little kibble.
And then as this rainy day wore on and it was last night, I thought, well, you know, you didn't eat at your regular supper time. So how about a little bit more?
Snack.
And it wasn't a full handful. It was just a little bit for both dogs.
Sure.
At which point, my daughters came out of the bath. They saw what I had done. They knew I'd fed them. And then these words came forward: "Dad, you're weak."
Oh.
And it was just like, you know, end of discussion. Like, "Dad, you're weak. You know, don't feed them anymore. Like, ever again, probably." And so I called said daughter in the basement, and I said, you know, that same... I've raised you with that same weakness.
Yes.
And I wondered, even as that description was in my head as I tried to sleep last night, was, it's probably true. I'm weak, but is it any better? Like, I think of it as soft. Like, I'm a softie.
Yeah, Dean is the softie in our relationship, too.
Well, I mean, when a certain unnamed four-year-old in my house knows that it's almost time for supper and we have those chocolate-covered granola bars that are really just candy bars.
Oh, yeah,
and
those are good, though.
Oh, they're so good. And he comes up to me and's like, "Dad, you have a granola bar?" And I'm like, "Sure." Not realizing that he had actually already talked to the other parental unit who had said, "No, it's almost time for supper." But he knows where his bread is buttered or where his granola bar is chocolated
is served.
My husband's the softie in our relationship, and that's why the children love him more. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's okay. It's the role I play is the warmonger mom.
Somebody's got to protect the dogs and the kids from obesity.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I'm loved more. I mean, I think my wife's probably better on the discipline, but I think she's probably loved more too. So I don't know how she accomplished that.
No, Dean's a good dad. We balance each other.
Don't you need that in marriage and parenting? Need a little balance.
The hands of time just keep ticking forward, ever marching. Ever older are we.
Every day you're the oldest you've ever been, the youngest you'll ever be.
It's your ray of sunshine for the morning. I'm feeling very tired.
You're older than you've ever been.
And now you're even older.
And the youngest you'll ever be.
This is making me sad.
That is a ray of sunshine, Mark.
All right. Well,
two sides of the coin, right?
Yeah.
There's a new list of 10 words that make you sound old. If you use these words...
If they're sprinkled in your
daily
conversation...
Now, listen, I don't know this coming in, but as the 55-year-old member of this trio, I'm a little bit trepidatious here, but go ahead.
First word, are you ready?
Yes.
Pocketbook.
No, not really, is it?
Okay.
See, I don't either.
You are youthful.
That's older than me.
You're not the whippersnapper.
Yeah, older.
Older. Okay.
Again, so, I've only used whippersnapper like tongue firmly in
cheek. Yeah, yeah, so. Right, exactly. So we're all still good. Here's the next one, though. Tape. I'm going to tape a show or I'm going to tape a... Yeah.
I think I say
guilty
record.
As charged.
I think I say record.
I try to say record. Do you still say you tape things?
Possibly. I'm not...
Yeah. That one's
I do mostly
did
a live
Did you guys ever use cassette
here,
but... tapes and tape
record,
songs from the radio so you could listen to
it
back?
And do you know what? It was so hard when I came into like work in radio because when I was a child of the 80s and we were using our tapes and recording, I used to hate it. Hated it when the DJ would talk over the ramp in or the ramp out. Oh, it would drive me crazy because it would mess up my mix.
Because you wanted the pure recording.
Yes. Yeah.
Good memories.
Youthful. Xerox. Does anyone use that word anymore?
Oh, you're going to Xerox
copy
something?
Xerox it? I don't.
Xerox.
Not too much.
Not as much.
I say Google.
All right. Floppy disk.
Oh, that's really old.
That's really old. Stewardess.
Probably.
I know.
So, I think I probably have, but it's one of those things that's like, can you even say like mailman anymore? And so it's like, I don't say stewardess, it's like flight attendant.
Yeah, flight attendant is the new thing. So stewardess is out, Mark. Mm-hmm. We gotta update ourselves because stewardess is out.
Again, if you use these, apparently you're old by the internet's judgment.
Right. What about grody? Did you ever use that word? I used that
ever?
A lot as a kid.
Huh? I mean, that's great. You look at someone.
The face. Huh? Yeah.
What is it?
I've never. Grody. I see it spelled on your screen. I would have thought it was T Y, but you have a G O.
Like, what is it?
Grody. Like
if
it's
something's
grody.
Really
gross.
Gross. You say it's that's really
it's
grody.
Huh?
You never heard that.
No, but
all right,
I kind of dig it.
It's really grody. Yeah,
it's really grody. Oh, yeah.
Or I've heard it. I've heard it.
Okay, sure.
Oh, I used it a lot in the 80s. Totally.
All right.
Icebox.
My grandma does.
The freezer. Yeah. So that one's cute. Dungarees. Who uses the word dungarees? I'm like barely knowing what dungarees are.
I'm going to go get some fresh dungarees from Farm and Fleet.
Yeah, they're jeans. I didn't even know that. I had to like read the little description about what they were. Dungarees. Who says that? Are you from New Zealand? That sounds like a New Zealand. Groovy. I used the word groovy.
Okay, this is the Archies back in the 70s, it sounds like, or something.
I can't say groovy. I do.
My kids say groovy sometimes.
Maybe it's
Alyssa
making a comeback.
Says that
That's
sometimes.
Good.
Groovy.
Groovy.
1970s right. word right there.
Well, I'm glad we could teach you a new word. I should play that in Scrabble. Grody.
Well, Minnesota already has hands-free cell phone driving legislation on the books, and Wisconsin seems to be heading in that direction. Way back 9 years ago, the state banned the practice of texting while driving, and we've expanded our laws regarding texting while driving. No one here in the Badger State can use a handheld mobile device while driving through a work zone, etc. Tickets for inattentive driving you can receive. But now, legislation introduced yesterday regarding hands-free cell phone use. You're not going to be able to hold your phone in the future, it would appear. We're headed in the direction that says bipartisan support. We're not going to be able to hold your phone and talk and drive.
Well, and I think that's a good thing. It's nice. Have you been in a vehicle? Okay, so I drive an older vehicle. I know you guys aren't driving the latest, greatest vehicles either. It's nice when you're driving a vehicle that's like Bluetooth enabled and you're riding with someone and like their phone rings and it's through the speakers of their car and they just say like, you know, vehicle, answer phone. And like they have a conversation through. And I'm like, I want that. That would make it really easy.
I love talking to Alexa and Hey Google and things like that. My phone's probably going to go off now. And so I enjoy that. So again, I don't drive a vehicle that's enabled in that way too, but it is a much safer way. And this would be an adjustment for me. It would, I fully admit, because what I do when I'm off the air too, there's so much multitasking involved that I honestly am talking on my phone all the time while driving just because I consider it to be a more efficient use of my time. But what's more important, efficient use of time or safety?
And so you just have to use it like a hands-free
and admittedly, I'm multitasking while driving. You're not supposed to multitask while driving. You're supposed to drive.
Yeah.
So,
but there's the question. I mean, just for interesting of the discussion. I mean, the question is, where do you draw the line on that, right? I mean, in terms of to what degree? I mean, this is kind of generally assumed like it's going to be safer, but people can make the case that eating is multitasking while driving. People do that. I mean, should there be legislation that you can't? Listening to the radio certainly can be. I mean, you're adjusting the radio.
No, absolutely.
But you know what, though? I've had near misses more times with people like with a phone plastered to their head or looking at a screen than I have with someone eating a French fry or drinking a cup of coffee. I almost got hit at an intersection last night. It was a four-way stop, and I could tell that car was not stopped. They went flying through that stop sign. They slammed on their brakes at the last second because I started wailing on my horn. But sure enough, facing a screen.
Yeah, it's kind of scary when you're out like on 53 or 94 or whatever, and someone like is passing you or you're passing them or whatever, and you look down or you look over, because even again, you kind of do that glance over, and they're just looking at a phone.
Yeah. It's terrible. Like, and you know, my husband being the biker that he is and doing a lot of bike commuting, that's a slower pace, and so he sees more people. The near misses that he has with people on their phones. It's unbelievable. And again, yeah, you're distracted when you're eating, but I've almost been hit by how many people on phones versus how many people drinking a cup of coffee.
Is there any chance that we could also pass legislation prohibiting toddlers from kicking the back of daddy's seat while they're sitting behind him? Because
kids are when they were little, they were more of a distraction than anything.
That would be nice as well.
Good times. I'm a Lego lover. I know that you are as well, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
Love the Legos. Now, I don't know about you. You still have siblings at home, but I ended up getting a bucket of Legos, as did my husband, from our childhood. That we were there going, what do we do with these Legos?
I'm still waiting for my youngest brothers to go to college so I can get my Legos back.
How are you going to divvy them up? Because there's a lot of you.
Well, that's the thing. And again, I usually had all my sets all put together.
Right.
And Josh had his sets put together. Stevie wasn't that into Legos, really. And so Josh and I had ours, but they were sort of separate. And then we had some communal Legos,
right,
too. But Will and Elijah, when we moved out of the house, broke them all down, which is fine, creative to put things together, but they broke them all down. Now they're in Rubbermaid totes, and now I don't know whose is whose.
Do you still have the books? Can you, like, go
most
on the ultimate challenge of assembling?
Yeah, and not only do I keep, like, the instruction booklets, but I also would cut out the front of the cardboard so I could see what it was supposed to look
detail.
Like. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely. Well, there's now this new effort that Lego is putting forth. This is really, really cool. Lego Group announced earlier this week that they're launching this new project, Lego Replay.
Okay.
It's a new pilot program that will accept any and all previously used Lego bricks and donate them to children's nonprofits in the United States. The process is simple. All you have to do is head over to the Lego Replay website, and you print out a free shipping label. You throw your loose Lego pieces in a box. You slap the label on, and you arrange for pickup by either UPS or FedEx.
Wow, so they take care of the shipping and everything.
They
do. Basically just gathering them. And
it says that the package is sent to a facility where each brick will be sorted, inspected by hand, and given a rigorous cleaning. That's good because some of mine are sticky.
Sure.
the effort is a collaboration with Give Back Box, Teach for America, and the Boys and Girls Clubs of Boston.
That's really cool. Great idea.
That's so cool. I found this interesting. They said that most people don't throw away their Lego bricks. The vast majority hand them down to their children or grandchildren, but others have asked us for a safe way to dispose of or donate bricks. With Replay, they have an easy option that's both sustainable and socially impactful.
Well, I mean, Legos bring so much joy, so either pass them on to kids or grandkids or pass them on to other young people who might not get them otherwise.
I love that they don't end up in landfills.
Everybody should be able to play with Legos.
Absolutely.
Hey, this is Caleb from the WIB Wake Up Show. Thanks so much for taking a listen to this. You can catch the show live weekday mornings 5:30 to 9 a.m. on 103.7 FM out of Eau Claire, 94.3 FM in Wausau, 93.5 in Marshfield, 93.7 FM in La Crosse, and anywhere at WWIB.com or via the TuneIn Radio app or your Amazon Alexa and Google Home devices.